Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The term that I've used is Poles position.
It's time for Poles position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Poles do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Congratulations. Woo. You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Two picks, wow.
With the ninth pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
9999.
So I listened to Poles position for the last 3 months, every single day, because apparently I don't need to get anywhere with my life. And it's been fantastic.
Sit back and watch them go.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select
the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Poles position is brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need us. We only have two more Poles positions left. And Wednesday is our mock draft, where we will get someone from seven different cities to make a selection. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And we will make picks 1 and 9.
I made it easy for us this year. So we'll make 1 and 9, and then Ice Cube's just going to do the other 7.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great, because Ice Cube did the Raiders pick last year.
Yeah.
If he's in, we're in.
I think he might be.
You think he might be?
I think so.
Okay. You got to top Ice Cube.
Everybody, Ice Cube!
Come on, baby.
Come on, baby.
Good luck. Hey, Shane and Chris, dig into the draft. Good luck topping Ice Cube. Who was that poor guy from, like, the Patriots last year who had to follow Ice Cube in the mock draft? He really struggled with it. He was very intimidated.
Was it Tom Brady?
I think you had Tom Brady on the show.
It was Tom Brady. Yeah.
But yeah, so Shane will do a great job for that. That's Wednesday at 3 o'clock. So Diana Russini says the Patriots are taking a bunch of calls with the third pick in the draft. Adam Schefter says that it sounds like Jaden Daniels is going too, and the Cardinals are in control of the draft with the 4th spot overall. All these new rumors, news, notes, pieces of information. The Broncos just traded for Zach Wilson, which some people think maybe means they're not going to be as likely to move up for a quarterback. I don't think that the Broncos are going to move up for a quarterback, because they don't have a lot of draft picks. They had to give up, you know, 3 total first-round picks for Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. They lack young players. They lack draft capital. They don't have a second-rounder this year. So I don't think Denver is a trade-up team. I think Minnesota is a trade-up team. I think Vegas is a trade-up team. I could even see a team like the Giants moving up from 6 if they feel like they need to get in front of someone else who would move up more aggressively. But I don't think Denver makes a lot of sense as a trade-up team. So That's some of the stuff that's going around. But I pulled the top seven names for the ninth overall pick in the draft, because I'd like to think that we'd be able to hit here. I assume you guys have not looked at this. Do you going to want to take any guesses at who the favorite is? Most likely pick, the gambling odds for the ninth pick in the draft?
Is it Roma Dunze?
It is Roma Dunze.
Sorry, Shane.
No, it's okay. I was just looking at the rundown.
Sorry, I'm so smart.
Oh, you're looking at the rundown. So
Roma Dunze. No,
yeah.
I was not.
I was going to guess Roma Dunze. I would say, what, like plus 150?
Hey, good job. Okay.
Plus
right.
money, right?
All right, yeah. Plus 150. So he is the overwhelming heavy favorite, which I think makes sense. We've talked about him a ton. The most mocked guy to the Bears, for sure, has been Roma Dunze. And people say, why do I care about the gambling market for it? Remember, it is a market. It is an expectation set. It is not a guarantee or anything like that. But this is a lot of sharp, informed people both set these lines, but more importantly, bet into these lines. And then, you know, the circas of the world react to it to limit their exposure. So Roma Dunze at a little bit worse than even money to be the ninth pick in the draft, that excites me a great deal. And that suggests that that would be four quarterbacks, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, and one defensive player off the board. It could be five quarterbacks if this Atlanta Michael Penix rumor is accurate. That would floor me, but it could be five quarterbacks. And then in that scenario, maybe you have a Joe Alt Roma Dunze decision that you need to make if that somehow has come to pass. But I personally think Harrison, Nabers, Alt, and four quarterbacks are off the board. And I don't think Atlanta's taking a Dunze because of all of the assets they've used on skill position guys over the years. So I think he's going to be there. I think the Bears are going to take him. That's who I would take. Now, the second most common guy, there's a pretty big drop here. It's Jared Verse at 6-1. Now, I am on the record, and I still believe this, that the only thing that I will be disappointed in with Ryan Poles is if he trades down and takes defense. That's the only thing that would have me disappointed. And it'll still be a great night, and it'll still be a historic night because Caleb Williams is going to be a Bear. But I want him to get a blue-chip player, and I want him to get a blue-chip player that directly supports Caleb. And I know a better defense supports your quarterback and complementary football and all of that, but I'm talking about for performance and success for him on the field, either give him a guy to throw to or a guy to protect him. One of those two things. Jared Verse does neither. But Jared Verse, to me, also grown-ass man, impressive, huge position of need for the Bears. I think it's arguably the biggest need on the Bears is D-end opposite Montez Sweat. But being the old man who beats up on the young kids and his age would very much worry me. Like, he does a lot of his highlights are bull rushing sophomores and running them over. He's a grown-ass man. You're not going to be able to do that in the NFL consistently. So Jared Verse would scare me. The next most likely guy for the ninth overall pick is Byron Murphy. And this one, I'd be excited about. Because while I do not think that Matt Eberflus should need another top 10 investment on the defensive side of the ball, another premium asset, I should say, on the defensive side of the ball, like, how much more does he need? You paid Jalen Johnson. You drafted Tyreek Stevenson. You drafted Kyler Gordon. You drafted Jaquan Brisker. You drafted Jervon Dexter. You drafted Zach Pickens. You signed Tremaine Edmonds. You signed TJ Edwards. You traded for Montez Sweat, and you signed Montez Sweat. How many more assets does this guy need on the defensive side of the ball? At least what the Byron Murphy selection would be is them telling you, our actions about the three technique are real. We tried to sign Larry Ogunjobi. It didn't work. We made a run at Draymond Jones, got outbid. We drafted Pickens and Dexter, not premium assets. We would have taken Jalen Carter, but personality. But Matt Eberflus needs his DeForest Buckner. We need a premium asset at this premium position. We've been transparent about that since the beginning. This is our guy. I would understand it. I wouldn't love it. I wouldn't do backflips over it, but I'd understand it because of who your head coach is. It would at least make logical sense, and you guys know I try to be as logical as I possibly can with this sort of thing. Like, that would tell a story to me that makes sense. It would be too empowering of Eberflus and too much about defense and not as much about Caleb, so I wouldn't like it, but I'd understand it. Dallas Turner and Lio Tulatu are the next guys. So, again, these are edge rushers' biggest position of need. But what gets interesting to me about this is now it's no longer about the specifics of after Odunze versus 6-1, Murphy 7-1, Turner's 8-1, and Latu is 9-1. What gets interesting to me is they're all defensive players. It's basically saying Poles will take best player available, and he would take the first or second best defensive player over the ninth best offensive player if Odunze is off the board, and he would go to his board. And I know that everyone says best player available, best player available, best player available. And again, edge is a position of need, but it feels like the angst or anticipation that we're going to have in this draft is for the ninth pick anyway, is does Atlanta take an offensive player? Do Tennessee and New York both take receivers? Like, what if Odunze is the seventh pick in the draft? That's got to at least be in play. And will Ryan Poles go defense in that scenario? So that, to me, those 6 and 7, the Giants and the Titans, if he gets past it there, because I cannot see him taking Jared Verse or Byron Murphy or Dallas Turner if Rome Odunze is on the board. I can't see him doing it. I just think that succession plan to DJ Moore, succession plan to Keenan Allen, same timeline as Caleb, knows Caleb, premium position, where he came from in Kansas City, needing this pick to work. Like, this is when Ryan Poles' job status and job tenure, like, really begins. It is on Caleb Williams and the success or failure there. Like, I can't see it. I can't see him passing on Odunze if he's there. And so the next two guys, there's a huge jump. Verse, Murphy, Turner, and Latu are all between 6 and 9-1, according to the gambling market. Then Brock Bowers at 16-1 and Olu Fashanu at 19-1 are the next two most likely guys to be the ninth pick in the draft. So, and then there's a really interesting one at 20-1 that I'll give you in a minute. I would be more excited about Brock Bowers than Jared Verse. I would be more excited about Olu Fashanu than Dallas Turner or Lio Tulatu. Like, I personally would just, you guys know, I bias towards offense. The market says they are much likely to take a defensive guy than one of those, I don't know, call them tier two offensive prospects. But there's surprises every year. There's no way that this draft is going to go when we're doing the show Thursday night live from Detroit. There's no way the draft is going to go exactly how everyone is mocking it, which is Caleb 1, Jaden 2, Drake May 3, Marvin Harrison Jr. 4, Malik Nabers 5, Joe Alt 6, I mean, J.J. McCarthy has to be in there somewhere. Like, J.J. McCarthy, not that he'll go to Tennessee, but you understand. And then Dallas Turner. Like, I just, there's going to be a surprise. I do not think those eight guys are definitely going to be the top eight picks in the draft. I just, it never works out that way. So the guy at 20-1 for the next most likely spot for who's going to be the ninth pick in the draft is J.J. McCarthy. So that scenario is J.J. McCarthy falling to the Bears at 9 and them trading the pick. The only reason I don't think that's a good bet or likely to happen is because, A, it seems like he's going to get overdrafted and be drafted before that. But if he's fallen to 9, the Jets aren't taking him either. So I don't know why someone would say if he's fallen to 9 that they'd have to jump in front of the Jets to get him. So I don't think that 9 is a great trade down spot for a quarterback, because I think one of these guys is going to be off the board.
Yeah, if he's still there, that means all the talk this offseason has been nonsense. And right. No one actually believes the things that they're saying and hearing about J.J. McCarthy.
I agree. So who would be there at 9 for Poles to trade down for? I think it would be like Roma Dunze. And then he would just pick him. Because I don't think anyone's trading up for any of these defensive players. And I don't think anyone's trading up for Michael Penix or Bo Nix. And you don't have to get in front of the Jets to get a quarterback. So, yeah, if McCarthy falls, maybe the phone rings. But I think that if McCarthy lasts beyond 6, he's probably lasting into the teens. I think that the Vikings' second pick, that pick they got from Houston, the 23rd pick in the draft, that's a spot for them, if they don't trade up, that they'll just take the quarterback who falls to them. They'll draft a guy at 11 and a guy at 23, and the 23rd pick in the draft will be a quarterback for Kevin O'Connell to develop. But I don't think this is a trade-up spot for a QB, because it's probably going to be you're going to have to go higher than that. So I always think that this is a useful exercise around now, because odds will change like crazy. Like last week, Drake May became the favorite over Jaden Daniels for the second pick in the draft. It went back, and it's gone back and forth. But these guys, the gambling market often does a pretty good job on this sort of thing, because intel can break out and sharp bettors can fire into this number and really move some markets. So my top two would be Roma Dunze and Byron Murphy for most likely outcomes here. So if I was going to advise you to make a wager, I'd bet on Odunze and Murphy. So that almost guarantees that it won't be one of those two guys. But the other one that's fun is Fashanu. If Poles thinks that he can be a left tackle and that Braxton Jones can be a guard, Braxton Jones then is still a good pick by Ryan Poles, and we saw that he was willing to use a premium asset on Darnell Wright at this spot last year. Like, if he goes back-to-back years at 9, and he gets the right tackle of the future and the left tackle of the future to support the quarterback, it's not a bad way to build a team. But I have not placed a bet on the 9th overall pick. But Roma Dunze at plus 150 and Byron Murphy at 7-1 would be where I would go. I can't believe you can even still bet, by the way, on Caleb Williams at 1. We got Dan Wiederer on the show today at 4. He tells Dan that they're taking him, in all but saying it. He's like, yeah, it was tough for me to tell my son that we were trading Justin Fields. He went from his Halloween and he had his poster on his wall. But now all I had to do was show him Caleb Williams highlights, and now he's got Caleb Williams on the back of his phone. I don't think Ryan Poles is going to tell Dan Wiederer that and tell his son that and then draft Jaden Daniels. That would seem pretty mean as a dad to do to your 11-year-old kid. So I hope you got your bets in around when I made that jersey or shortly thereafter of Caleb Williams being the number one pick of the draft. Because right now I think you got to bet $20,000 to win $100. Probably not worth it at this point, just to tie up that money and pay the taxes on the transaction. But Ryan Poles all but told Dan Wiederer what's going to happen. And we'll talk to Dan about that conversation coming up in an hour. And I should also mention the draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Thursday, 5 to 9 after the Cubs game, we're live from Detroit. We're on through the Bears' second pick. Wani and Manley in studio. Odyssey app, The Score, Twitch, X, YouTube, wherever you consume content, we will be bringing you our draft analysis. I thought that Arturis Karnishevas did a great job. I also think it's going to be very difficult for those words to age anything but poorly. I'll explain next on The Score.
Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Put him in the hall. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Parkins and Spiegel. To the rack. Count it in a foul.
We're going to crank it up nonstop.
I think we've, you know, we can be creative. You know, we've been creative in the past. And, you know, going into this off season, we're going to, basically everything is on the table. So we're going to look at everything. That would be my answer.
Oh, no, no.
Everything's on the table.
We have heard it before. Everything's on the table. And I got to be honest. So that game Friday was a disaster. 19-0 run, no Jimmy Butler for the Heat, just going out with a whimper, deja vu all over again. The exact same thing as last year is kind of insane. You play an entire season, you do an entire offseason, you do all the planning, you do the draft, you do free agency, you do the hype, you do the All-Star weekend, you do the injuries, you do the successes, the failures, and you're the ninth seed in the East. You win the play-in game this year on 42 from Kobe White, last year on 39 from Zach LaVine, and then you lose to the Heat. This time, it was even worse than last year. Last year was competitive. Last year, you were winning with 2 minutes to go. This year, you get run out of the building. Completely non-competitive. So the sameness of it is very dulling to Bulls fandom because the crowd was awesome at the play-in game. There's a ton of Bulls fans, but the sameness and the redundancy is tough. So AK does that press conference, and smart to do it on a Saturday, do it right when the season ends, be accountable, but also not a ton of people are paying attention. I want to hear a little bit of it here because I actually thought he handled it about as well as he could have. I just think the follow-through is going to be tough. You'll understand what I mean in a second. Here is the candor on how bad it's been.
Well, the analysis, again, analysis will start right now. And going into free agency, I think we're going to be pretty aggressive the way we showed before. Going into, you know, draft and free agency. And, you know, we obviously cannot roll the same team again and expect different results. So we definitely understand that even with some of the positivity with, you know, the clutch wins and, you know, overtime wins, we're still at 39 and we're playing and we have to somehow generate additional 10 wins. And even with injuries that we suffered this year, I think we need to change things. You know, this group hasn't worked. So we're going to, you know, there's a lot of great things in certain individual players. And a lot of young guys that took a step forward, and it's positive, but in totality, as a group, it didn't work. So I'm going to have to find these answers in offseason.
All right. It didn't work. It hasn't worked. Even with injuries, we need to be better. We got to find about 10 more wins. 10 wins would be 49 wins. 49 wins is the 3-seed Milwaukee Bucks. So that's what he's saying is the offseason goal. Okay. I get it. You're not going from 39 wins to 64 wins, which is what the Celtics did, but you've talked about being a top 4 seed in the East before. The luxury tax often gets brought up. Let's hear AK address the financial realities of running the Bulls.
My approach looking at the luxury tax is like, if you can prove that your team is going to be in the top 4, you go in a luxury tax. And I think, you know, it just makes no sense to, let's say, to be in a French and to be in playing if you're going to be in luxury tax. So as long as I can, you know, put a team together that can be competing in top four, that's when you're going to start looking at to go in east, I would say. That's when you start looking, retaining guys and going in luxury tax. I think that would be my approach.
So that is reasonable. If we're actually competitive and we can be a top four seed, we'll go into the luxury tax. If you're a top four seed, you're guaranteed home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. You should be a favorite in that series. Get a couple of playoff series. Okay, fine. 10 more wins. That is some semblance of accountability. He talked about his goal being a championship. He talked about the group not working. He said it's on him. He's recently got an extension. So, okay, clock starts on AK and job security, but we know that John Paxson had the job for four different U.S. presidents. Generally speaking, these guys have a very, very, very long leash with the Reinsdorf family. So I don't think he's on the hottest of hot seats. But all right, fine. Let's take him at his word that he's going to try to find 10 more wins. He agrees that he can't just change an assistant coach and that this thing is over. This group is over. He also said he wants to re-sign Patrick Williams. He also said he wants to re-sign DeMar DeRozan. And Casey Johnson has reported that he's heard that there's been an initial offer of 2 years and $40 million per year. So going for high average annual value and not long-term deal. But DeMar wants more years. They just gave Vooch an extension. Obviously, they gave Kobe an extension. My question is it possible to fundamentally change the team if Io, Kobe, DeMar, Vooch, Caruso, and Patrick Williams are all still here? Because unless you trade Zach LaVine and his $138 million owed, and he didn't play really for you, and maybe you get the $21 million in some relief on Lonzo Ball, but like you said, that's months away from knowing if you're going to get what they're going to do in medical hardship and all of those sort of things. They're going to be a luxury tax team. They're going to have to be. Maybe I'm cynical. But there was no trade market for Zach LaVine this year. Now you add the Bulls playing better without him, him going another, like further into that contract that he signed, and coming off of another injury. Like I heard Casey Johnson today, who's excellent and more plugged in on this stuff than me by 100 times. You know, say like float like Orlando. Like Orlando loses in the first round of the playoffs. They get the medicals. They talk themselves into that they need a veteran scorer. Okay, that makes sense. Orlando has young assets. Everything that he said makes sense. Some team is trading for 3 years on $138 million of Zach LaVine without him proving that he can stay healthy. You're not getting much if they do. I cannot imagine the Bulls getting anything other than someone else's bad contract or contracts or someone else's reclamation project or reclamation projects for Zach LaVine at that price before he proves that he can play high-level offensive efficient basketball again. And for him to be able to do that, he's got to play for you. And if he plays for you and you have a mandate to change your roster around, you're going to be a luxury tax team, and I know that they don't compute the tax until the end of the season, so you could trade off guys in year if you aren't a top four seed to get under the tax, but I don't think you are going to be able to not be a tax team and fundamentally change the makeup of your team without being willing to take a serious step back competitively. And he's talking about taking a step forward and re-signing DeMar DeRozan. Like, if he would come out and say, this group didn't work, I need to build a championship team, that is what these fans deserve, and that is the edict from ownership, and ownership has promised that they will spend when I build a top four team here, and I thought that with Zach and DeMar and Vooch and Lonzo and Patrick and Alex that we were going to have a top four team, I was wrong. Part of that was my miscalculation. Part of it was bad luck. But I promise to get it right the next time, but it's going to take some time. Okay. I would be upset because I told you 2 years ago to trade Vooch, but can someone help me figure out how they add 10 wins, don't go into the luxury tax, and fundamentally change the team? I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. I think you have to take a step back in order to take a step forward with just the age and makeup and the redundancies of the roster. And I would be okay with it. Like, I was wrong on DeMar DeRozan. AK was right. When they signed him to that 3-year deal, the first one, that is expiring now, I said, DeMar DeRozan is an awesome basketball player, but it worries me on how his game is going to age. I would have only wanted to go 2 years on him. And now it's looking like they're going to go for 5 or 6 years when you factor in this next 2 or 3 year deal. So I was wrong. Like, DeMar absolutely lived up to every dollar that they gave him and gave you 3 good, impressive years of basketball. He clearly has the Mamba mentality, rip off of Kobe Bryant, works his ass off, ages like a fine wine. I feel like I was wrong about DeMar and right about Vooch. But regardless, they're both old. So I don't get it. And so I thought that he said the right things, but I think what will ultimately happen here is he will either be forced into taking bad trades for 20 cents on the dollar, or he's going to largely run this thing back next year, say that no deals materialized, which we've heard before, and say, you're going to have to just be a little bit more patient with me while we wait to see if Zach can prove that he's healthy or if Lonzo can prove that he's healthy or whatever the case may be. And that's basically what he said the last offseason and 2 trade deadlines. So I thought the words were much better, but I think he's backed into a corner because he still doesn't seem willing to take a step back. If he was going to take a step back, there's a path out of this. Without stepping back, I just don't know how there is. If someone else has a suggestion, I'm open to it at 312-644-6767 on the text line. But, like, I don't think so, man. We got an announcement from the Bears it looks like we might need to get into. Also want to talk to these guys, some White Sox stuff. Dan Wiederer in 20 minutes. David Haw coming up. A.J. Przinsky at 5 o'clock. Parkinson's
440 Spiegel. For A.J. right now. 440. Just had to move.
Oh, 440. Okay, great. Not a problem. 440 for A.J. Przinsky. It's Parkinson's Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Good to be on the score. I mean, I've been a score guy ever since in the 90s listening to you guys. You know, now with the Bears, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Afternoons on the score.
Just to be clear on the stadium. If everything comes together, yes. You guys have said the focus is now the lakefront.
Yep.
Everything comes together, all the obstacles, the money. The plan is to put a shovel on the ground on the lakefront, or does Arlington Heights get a chance to come back? And
the plan would be to put a shovel on the ground on the lakefront.
And they're taking the next steps. The Bears have just sent out a press release or a media advisory. Chicago Bears to announce plans for new stadium and additional green and open space on Museum Campus on Wednesday, April 24th. The Chicago Bears, in collaboration with city officials and stakeholders, will host a press conference on Wednesday, April 24th to announce their plans for a state-of-the-art, publicly owned, enclosed stadium along with additional green and open space with access to the lakefront for families and fans on the museum campus. So the press conference is at Soldier Field. It's at noon. It is this Wednesday. So that is not an announcement of a deal being done. But that says in collaboration with city officials. So I wonder if Brandon Johnson's going to be there. This is a pretty public step. Because we knew they were going to announce renderings this month. They had said that. But if they are doing a press conference at Soldier Field with the mayor, it would look terrible for the mayor to have that dog and pony show happen and them to still go to Arlington Heights. That would be a terrible look. Can you find out, Shane, or ask someone if the mayor's going to be there? Because it doesn't say on this, like, who's expected to attend. And they might not give it up. But there's also some change right now in the media relations department going on with the Bears. So I got to figure out who to ask about this. We just got this in the last couple of minutes. But I got to say, this would be a very public bluff. My stance the entire time has always been they bought 320 acres of land. They spent $197 million. It's better to own than to rent. You don't have to deal with the problems of the city. They telegraphed their intentions by buying that land. That's what they want to do. This, and then one by one, Kevin Warren has been convincing journalists that he's serious about downtown, and that is good poker. That's what he's supposed to be doing in order to get leverage to help out with the property tax situation in Arlington Heights. But I think it's very interesting that this is not the Bears just releasing renderings. But if they are doing this with, it says city officials and stakeholders, so it does not say the mayor, but and stakeholders. Friends of the Park? Wonder who's going to be there. Because that will show you what type of handshake agreements and deal making has been done behind the scenes. Because if Brandon Johnson, let's put it this way, if the Bears went to Arlington Heights, he'd be able to say, that's the situation that I inherited from Mayor Lightfoot. If Brandon Johnson holds hands publicly with Kevin Warren, which he's already done plenty, right? He's been in his suite. He's been photographed with him. They've been openly talking very nicely about each other. But if he's there and says, look, these are the plans. This is why we're going to keep the Bears. I'm putting my arms around this. My people worked on this, et cetera, and they still leave, it'll feel like he lost the Bears, even though the groundwork was laid when Mayor Lightfoot was in office. And again, I don't think it's that big of a deal to quote-unquote lose the Bears. They'll still be the Chicago Bears. They'll be a few minutes away. It's no big deal. But this is very public. This is a very if this is a bluff, it is a very, very public bluff. Let's examine one other part of this. Because they just brought in, you know, pretty high-powered. They're calling him the administrative assistant. He's going to be a right-hand man to Kevin Warren. But he ran media and communications for the Chiefs for a number of years. He worked for a couple different NFL teams. These guys are not dumb that they have here that are doing the messaging with the Bears. So they know that the next day, that this is a 24-hour news cycle event. Because the next day, Caleb Williams blows them off the front page. So I don't think this upstages them in any way. I'm just trying to think about it from the PR standpoint here. Like, would it bother you guys at all if you're Caleb Williams that they're hosting a press conference the day before you're drafted to them? And that you're like the co-headliner of the week with the Bears? Like, that the new stadium comes out one day, and then the next day, oh, here's the guy who's hopefully going to play in the new stadium.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're going to name it Caleb Williams Field on the lakefront. No, I don't think, I don't think he would think twice about it.
Okay. Maybe I'm overthinking it. I have a tendency to do so. Just that it's interesting. Like, I don't think anything can upstage Caleb Williams. And
it's kind of cruel to the media, though, isn't it? They're going to be there probably late on Thursday night.
Yeah, they don't care about that. But yes.
I know. I'm just, trying to be considerate to our friends in media.
Yeah, and different locations. Because on draft night, you'll be laid up in Lake Forest. This, you got to go down to Soldier Field.
But you famously don't care about, like, where if they have to be there for a long time.
That's how it all began.
Right.
That's how the Brad Biggs block all began. Yeah. But, all right. So we get the shiny new renderings. We get to see who we get to basically play the attendance game. Whose name is on the renderings? Who smiles for the photos? This guy Kevin Warren. My God, there was another one over the weekend with Courtney Cronin for his 1 year on the job. The Sun Times got one. The Trib got one. ESPN got one. Enough. Spike the ball when you cross the goal line. Why? The hagiography, the myth-making, the documentation, it's so strange to me. Enough. But he'll be there, I'm sure. Touting a new domed, state-of-the-art, publicly owned stadium, along with additional green space and open space and new access points to the lakefront for families and fans.
And floating.
That's why Taney's here. He reads the fine print. We'll get Dan Wieder's reaction to this, plus if he was surprised that Ryan Poles basically admitted to him that he was selecting Caleb Williams. Dan Wieder are next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.